First things, David, Tuesday, December 15th. Where do you want to start?
I want to start in Georgia. I want to start with Stacey Abrams, who a leading figure in this battle for democracy, who has been a North Star for organizations such as Common Power. Yesterday she performed, along with hundreds of others in this country, the most basic democratic function we can do in a presidential election. She helped to count the Electoral College votes. Here's her yesterday in Georgia.
Nikema Williams.
I cast my vote for President Joe Biden.
Kathy Woolard. I am pleased to announce that Joseph R. Biden has received 16 votes for President of the United States.
A nice sustained applause there.
Yeah, that's the Electoral College voters for Biden and Harris in the room right there in Georgia. That's we're not at the Republican headquarters there in Georgia. And after that, but the clip doesn't include it. She then does announces the 16 for Kamala Harris as the first vice president, first female vice president, and the applause is also sustained for that too. Of course. 16 Georgia electoral votes contested like we haven't seen electoral votes contested in this country since probably 1876, when Reconstruction, the fate of this country, the fate of African Americans, was all on the line. Hard to say that those pieces aren't still at stake for us.
That's interesting to think about it being 1876, huh?
Yeah, in that election, the two presidential candidates, there were three contested states. There was actual, genuine, incredible fraud, violence, racialized across some southern states. And there was deep arguments about which votes should count, which electoral college votes should be counted. And eventually, the Republican candidate won in the House of Representatives. But in return, they agreed to remove federal troops from the South during Reconstruction. And it's a huge mark, a stain on this country, what occurred then. But we probably haven't had as meaningful a contestation of actual votes since then. And that's even counting 2000 with Al Gore, because at that time, it was one state there and several hundred votes. Here, the Trump campaign has been contesting, you know, votes in five key states across the country. And it's been, you know, volatile. Yesterday was the certification of the Electoral College votes across the country, December 14th, the first Monday after the second Wednesday, as it's mandated by federal law. And it all went smoothly. Everybody did their democratic, small d democratic duty. And you know, we have the power of the norms and the institutions have carried us through despite the assault upon our democracy so far.
Yeah, the assault on our norms. Been so unpleasant to be a part of that the last years. Are we putting a nail in the coffin of all this?
We're getting close, man. We're getting really close. Just about 10 minutes ago, this morning, on the U.S. Senate floor, the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, a truly reprehensible human being, but someone with great influence, there's no question about that, gave a speech where he eulogized the Trump presidency and then pivoted to announce that, you know, the Electoral College has spoken And we have a new president-elect and a new vice president-elect. And he congratulated Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And he turned the focus to them. And yesterday on the podcast, I said I was going to be paying attention today. Yesterday afternoon, after the Electoral College counting, and today, to what Republican leaders in the Senate had to say. And they have not been as strong as I wanted as a group, but they have definitely come along in announcing and accepting the presidency and vice presidency of Biden and Harris. And I take that as a win for our democracy. Certainly doesn't make me any happier about the Republicans, but I take it as a major step of progress. And I take it as a win for our democratic institutions. And I take it as another step along the way to marginalizing everything that the president has to say and do at this time. At this point, in my mind, we have crossed into the threshold of Trump can say whatever he wants, the campaign can do whatever they want, but the norms, the practices, the laws have spoken to where we are. And that January 6th, when the Congress affirms and officially counts those votes from states, Mike Pence, in his role as vice president, will be counting and announcing the presidency of Joe Biden and the vice presidency of Kamala Harris. And I'm there. I'm done. I'm ready.
The dead enders in the House may mount their challenge, but it'll be completely symbolic.
Yeah, and even if you get a Rand Paul or a Mike Lee or a Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, they won't go anywhere. And now they know, and he has said it to the world, that the majority leader, the reprehensible Mitch McConnell, will not be with them, will not support whatever they're going to say. So they do it at their own further danger. And for Paul and Ali, representing Kentucky and Utah, probably not much risk either way to them politically. But for Ron Johnson, who's also been toying with this idea, he's up for re-election in Wisconsin in 2022. And that would be a major, major decision on his part to endorse a House of Representatives challenge to the vote counting. So in my mind, we are done with it as like any kind of like serious nervousness or anxiety about it all being there. We had to go through the Supreme Court. We've now gone through the Electoral College. And at this point, you got the president just raving and ranting, and that's it.
So now the Republicans have to decide if they're a party of a raving and ranting lunatic or if they want to stand for something else.
You know, it is that moment. It does seem like how much further are they going to drive in this car with this president? How much more damage are they going to do to the Georgia Senate runoff elections, to their own public perceptions of the party, to their own standing, to their own historical legacy? It's a choose moment for sure. William Barr yesterday, your pal.
Yeah, my bud.
William Barr, we know what he's trying to do. He's trying to restore his reputation, and he's got miles to go. But he made the call, and Barr is showing us such a calculus. Like, the guy is cold-blooded calculating right now, and he's like, I'm out before everything goes to hell in the next month when the pardons start flying.
Yeah, eulogizing the president and his excellent record the whole way.
How about that letter, huh? How about that resignation letter?
You know, there, pucker up, William Barr.
Man, Barr, that's like a campaign announcement speech is what that was like for Barr for 2024. That's what these are essentially, is people trying to prepare themselves, or it might even be because he might have he's probably potentially liable legally for a number of things. These are all like pardon entreaties as well. So Barr's out. He's leaving before Christmas. Yesterday was such a fascinating news and democracy day. Things just kept coming as I watched the Electoral College numbers come in, and also read and listened to other developments. So Barr's resignation, but a gentleman in Michigan named Paul Mitchell, a congressman there, had announced earlier this year that he was not going to run for re-election. Didn't give any strong indication that it was because he wished to depart the Republican Party. He just indicated he wasn't going to run for re-election. So a Republican conservative congressman in Michigan, in the 10th district in Michigan. He didn't run. And over time, Mitchell has been quite critical of the Trump campaign's continued pushing for counting and conspiracy theories. And a lot of that has focused on Michigan. Well, yesterday, Mitchell announced he's leaving the party. And this has no implications at all for governing. He's only got 3 weeks left in his House seat. But it has a symbolism. And he noted in his departure letter that he wished to have his designation in the House record shifted from R to I, the independent. And he said specifically, he goes, I know that it doesn't matter, but symbols do matter, as you know, and I'd like to be an I. And he was on CNN yesterday, and there isn't a lot of times that I get things live as they occur. I usually capture the news after it's occurred when things kind of get filtered to me and I go and look for stuff. But I happened to be watching this one live, and he was on for about a good 10 minutes with Jake Tapper on CNN. And I want to play a clip, which is his final portion of the interview. Paul Mitchell, I think he's in his 70s, in Michigan, a conservative Republican, and his comments about the state of the party and what he thinks leaders need to do today.
Just note again, for people who don't know, you criticized President Trump for his response to Charlottesville. You criticized President Trump when he launched that racist attack against the four congresswomen of color, the Democratic women, three of whom were born in the U.S., one was a naturalized citizen, and when he told them to go back where they came from, you called that out. But again, you're a conservative Republican, like in your heart, and you're a conservative. If there's not a place for you in the Republican Party, where are people like you supposed to go?
I'm not sure what to do next, but let me make a comment about the send them back, because it still enrages me. And my youngest son, Jake, we adopted him from Russia 8 years ago. And anybody that would tell me he's not a citizen, he doesn't have the same rights that you or I have, I have to tell you, I'd knock them on their ass. That's not what our nation stands for. So I'm going to work with candidates that reflect principles that I think our country should stand for. I will, those that respect other people, be they immigrants, new citizens, born here or not, because I think our country is better than what we've seen. And yes, I did speak out about a number of those things, and took a fair amount of heat about those. But I think that's the responsibility of anybody that's elected to leadership or is a leader. I did that, and that's why I'm ending my tenure in Congress by speaking out in this case, that our leadership owes us better than what we're seeing right now. And until I see that, I'm going to be an independent, because it's simply unacceptable.
A little Chiron generator changed his designation as he was talking from R to I.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Yes, to I. Yeah. What is that moment like psychologically to decide to leave the team that you've been invested in, that you have so believed in, that you ran for office under their banner, that you have, as he notes in his letter to the head of the Republican Party, that he has raised money for Republicans. He has contributed his money. He has fought for the principles. He's voted with Trump 95% of the time. The guy has been, he is a staunch Republican. He is. And he's done. And he's done. And so the cynical folks would say, fine, he's got nothing to lose. He's got a few weeks left. And that's true for a lot of the critiques of Trump from Republicans, is from outgoing Republicans. But he still lives in a community. He still lives professionally with colleagues who aren't making that decision. So to make that decision, that choice has consequences. And certainly you don't need to speak up about it if you want to depart. You can just go. You don't need to speak up about it. And he made the choice to publicly speak about it, which will have other consequences for him and perhaps for that son that he's referenced. So I just have so much respect, and I was watching that, and I was you know, really moved when he talked about his kid, about his decision, about America, and about what we deserve and what we need. And everything this way, every moment, yesterday's Electoral College decisions, the Supreme Court's decision on Friday, Mitch McConnell's speech this morning on the floor of the Senate, Paul Mitchell's decision yesterday to depart the Republican Party, Joe Biden's speech last night, when Biden laid it out in a way that you weren't really sure if Biden ever was going to do, but laid it out and prosecuted the devastation to democracy that Trump et al. Is pushing. Every one of those moments is a step in the direction we need to go. And we didn't get to this devastatingly difficult place all in one day. It took many steps to get us here. It's going to take many steps to get us out of here. And these moments matter. You know, as a communication professor, I used to teach about this, and I'd have a phrase. I'd say every contribution to our discourse, using a very academic term, to our discourse matters. There is nothing that doesn't matter. And so there are times when we wonder, is it worth it to speak up? Is it worth it to make that phone call? Is it worth it to send that postcard? Every single contribution matters.
What's the next steps here for us? What are first things tomorrow then?
It's Georgia. It's Georgia tomorrow. It's Georgia the next day. It's Georgia the next day. Yesterday was the first day of early in-person voting in Georgia, in addition to everything else that went on yesterday. And it was a record turnout for early in-person voting in the state. That's where the work is right now. That's where we contribute, make our contributions right now. Wednesday evening is a celebration for Common Power, 5 p.m. Pacific time, for about an hour, a chance for us to share some of our wins for this year. Some of that will be political, but also a chunk of it will just be personal. How did we get through this year? What's a win that got us through this year? Please join us for that. The Zoom link is on the events page. Come along to that. And then Thursday is a dive into the history of Georgia around voter suppression, educational session at 5 p.m. Pacific time by a colleague, AJ Musewe. She's going to be leading that. Each of these is a major contribution to our work. We have, today's Tuesday, right? We have 3 weeks until election day, voting's done in Georgia. It is going to take everything to have a chance to win this election. So that's what's next for us. That's what's next for us. The road could not be clearer in terms of the work that we need to do right now. Let's go.